Now I'm here with Helen Cole, Magnus Clark. My name is Natalie Peters. And anytime you're ready, Mrs. Clark, just tell us what you remember about Harford County and how it's changed in your lifetime.
Well, I'd hardly know where to start.
Why don't you start with the your father working over with Mr. Robinson?
Well, I would have,
Anywhere you'd like to start is great.
Well, I was born within 5 years over in Watervale. My father was manager of the farm, Mr. Bill Robinson, who was a millionaire. And then I was 5 years old, we moved up here. In fact, Montgomery Ward is right on my land now. And I lived there till I was 11, and then I went back to Watervale.
And this was farming area here? Did you live on a farm then?
No, my father worked at the Proving Ground.
He worked at the Proving Ground.
Edgewood and Aberdeen, which is stone. And everything that had any papers and Bantam had it, supposed to give up the jobs to go there. Of course, it got paid wonderful, but I mean, that was a theory at this moment. And well, he first, when he first, when I first moved up, he worked on the railroad. But then we moved the second time. That was when I was 18. I've been here ever since. Territory. So.
Well, how has Harford County changed in that time?
It's the same place.
It's the same place? No.
No. It used to be, not saying it isn't nice now, but it isn't like it used to be. We had very few neighbors. And we had an old gentleman lived over here where Pizza Hut is now. They had a lovely stone house there. He was a lovely old gentleman, and he took care of everybody and talked to everybody and was friendly to everybody. Now you wouldn't have anything.
No.
He was, everybody just loved it. And he was old. I mean, I don't really can't remember how old, but I know he was, when he died. But his wife was dead. But it had been a daughter and a son lived there. And that old man, everybody just, I like wrong.
Do you remember his name?
Bradley. Daniel Bradley. And I lived here, went to school in Bel Air. Third grade. Then I moved back to Watervale.
How did you get to school?
We walked.
Was it a long walk?
Well, it's a mile from here up to Main Street. Then you know where the old school was out on.
Gordon.
What's the street? Gordon Street. That's where we all went to school. Because it had all the grades there that wasn't building. Yeah, we had to walk. I think it was snowing. I can remember my father walking along and helping me through snowdrifts. The road would be closed and they just had a little place open. He never got treated like to be there. And then we moved back there. I went to a country school, a one-room school. I thought I'd die because it wasn't used to anything like that.
Why was it different?
Well, in Bel Air, each class had their own room. And I went down there, they were from fourth grade to the eighth grade in one room. And one teacher. But the first, I was leading the class third grade up here. The first three. Used to be we got our report cards 4 times a year. And I'd gotten 3 times and I'd come first. Went down there and I almost failed the last. Oh, it was terrible. The teacher'd be talking, and I think I ought to listen to her. She'd be telling me maybe they had some other grade, and it was very disturbing. But I learned from a year after summer, I guess. And I went back, and I finished down there. Then 1918 back up their own place, because the Creeper owned this place up there. And I stayed there until I got married.
And then you moved over here?
I moved down Camelot Farm, which was the farm we called it.
Camelot?
Do you remember what year we sold that Sam? I don't know.
What, our home place?
Yeah, Camelot, yeah.
Let me see, 63. Right.
We lived there. My husband died at 56. So I stayed on there. And the children were going on. I had 7 children. Six boys.
Six boys.
And a couple of them, 2 of them were married. So I sold the farm. And remarried at Eudora Wheel Road. So he died in 71 and I'm back here the same. Back home. Used to run around over these fields. This field was just a hay field. The kids used to play in it. We got under the hay, we'd play in it. All the kids in the neighborhood. We're on in them games now.
Well, tell me about those games.
Well, we used to play. What did they call it? Cab. But anyway, we had to get in the ring. Then you dropped your hands, you made this big ring. And then one of them didn't get in it. And they could go around the outside till they decided who they wanted to touch. Now sometimes they carried a handkerchief to drop it behind, but mostly they did the other thing. And they tap you, then they take you out and run. And if you would catch them before they got back, they had to go around the next time. If it didn't, you had to be the one to go around. Then we played Farmer and the Dell. And there was a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Little things.
How did Farmer and the Dell go?
Well, we put a couple in there. And how was that? The boy got in the center. And we made a circle. And we sang Farmer and the Dell. And we sang, went on. Some of that, you select the wife, and you get kicking the girl in on it. Then you selected a child. Then that was the end of that. The next one. Somebody went in. I most likely the child was the one that started that next time. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else did you do? What kind of social activities did you do as you got a little older, courting, anything like that? Remember?
What do you mean?
Like dances or social fairs?
Well, those days people had dances in their own home. And over here on Holbeam Road, right up to where the fairground is, used to be a colored man. His name was Ned Brown. And he used to play at all the dances.
What did he play?
Violin. And then he had somebody out in the studio, so he had to be keeping account of his other music. He was a ringleader. And he played at everybody's dance in Harvard County.
And did you used to go to those dances?
Not till you were 16 or 17, you didn't. The first one I went to was a friend. I think I was like 17. My mother probably took me. Of course, some days the girls didn't start going out till you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, after that I went to a lot of different places. And some times church halls would have a dance. Rockefellers and those kind of people. In their halls. But all the dance. And then they built the armory. Well, then we had a big place to dance. But that's bad. I mean, there wasn't. We didn't have movies in the beginning.
What about you going to the armory for the soldiers?
Hmm?
What about you going to the armory for dancings with the soldiers?
Well, that was World War I. That's when it started, had that dance. The armory had just been built before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sam's father hauled all the gravel from his farm to Bel Air that went in the armory building. He used to have 4 horses, two horses and two mules to a wagon. And you go down and get a load, winter's run went right through their farm, and load up the sand and leave all every bit of the sand and everything. But during World War I, the Knights of Columbus said there were so many soldiers, they didn't have much entertainment for their days. And so they asked them, our church, if we'd try to help. So the Knights of Columbus asked all the girls that practically in Bel Air around. Of course, I didn't live in Bel Air, but I was close enough to be called. To meet them on Friday evenings. And we did that. They'd bring a busload out. And we girls would have to dance with them any longer or not.
Did you like that? Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes, you enjoyed it. Because you met some very nice young men. Some of them, of course, you wouldn't be there for. I never got a boyfriend out of it, but I usually was on the refreshment end, and I stopped dancing and go up and get the refreshment strip. I didn't have to put up with them too long. Some of them were very nice. Most of them were. But every Friday we do that. And one of my neighbors used to take me. He stopped in and take me because he was working on look after gets it, they got the refreshments and all that stuff, you know. And he took me. He took me. So that's how I got to go.
And this was World War I. And at that time, did he have a car or a truck?
Yes, he had a car, but it was kind of peculiar. But they are today.
Yeah. It was a sort of an early car, one of the early.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I mean, I don't really remember much, but I remember. Well, a lot of them, you know, still was using the horse and buggies. Because, you went to church, no matter where you were, very few cars used to go to church and used to use horse and buggies. Because they had to have posts put in the back part of the church, for each one had their own post.
Where you hook the horses
tied
up
your horse
during
church. You had to put your own post in?
I imagine we did. I don't know. I know we had one. I know.
Okay, go ahead. So that's a great question. You don't remember whether you had to put your own post in. They just had them
I
there.
I imagine we did, but generally you had to do everything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. I remember because I went to St. Margaret's Church, the old church was up there. Mm-hmm. And all the back part of it where the schools are now, there was post. And I remember McCarthy's was the first one, and my grandfather was the next. We were next, and I had an uncle over here, and then it started the second row of, you know, all the three rows of posts for horses.
So you always knew who was in church by just what horses were
yeah.
out there. And did you have your own pews where you sat in the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all had our own pews. Was this church was built in 1905, St. Martin's Hill. And the priest at that time had come from St. Ignatius. And he married my mother and father in St. Ignatius and baptized me, and he was my godfather.
And what was his name?
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
Father Frederick. He's a wonderful person. But he had very little help, so he bought this church. He bought the rectory, and his sister Eddie had a nephew that was terribly afflicted.
I'm sorry?
His nephew was terribly afflicted.
Oh, he was? Uh-huh.
He couldn't talk plain. He couldn't walk right. We used to say he was knock-kneed and bow-legged. I don't know how he could be both, but we used to say, poor boy, here come poor old father, got him knock-kneed and bow-legged. He was a very nice person. He played the organ, and I don't think anybody ever understood music better than he did, and he stuttered. Terrible. We'd never say anything good that could help him. But when he sang, he never stuttered, and he had a gorgeous voice.
And this was Father Frederick's nephew. And what was his name?
Alphonse McGinnis or something like that. She died at his birth. And he and his sisters took him to raise, and they raised him. And Father Frederick stayed here until 1918. And he gave the church and everything to the Archdiocese of Portland. They gave him a home and a sister. He had one sister back then. Of course, poor Alphonse. And they gave him a home to live in that. It was on their property. I didn't give him a lifetime right there. He did his home. But he was up in his 80s then. He didn't live too long.
What else do you remember about that time when you were about 20, right? 19 or 20 when he left? Were you married at that time? How did you meet your husband?
It was a funny thing. My husband's brother, younger brother, and he was 5 years older than I, come to my birthday party when I was 16. But he bought an aunt of mine. Now, I had one aunt was only a year older than I. But he bought it was the second aunt he bought. But anyway, our birthdays were the same day. So he always called me his twin. And I never considered him a boyfriend. He was just a friend because he was 5 years older than I. That was terrible. And he worked for the state and he was traveling. He wasn't here all the time. He was in Frederick sometimes. Right? At any rate, the boy next down the road from us was going in service. Everything in those days had to go up to Bel Air in the Army and then march down to the station. And the train came off with him up. And his brother, the one I married, was going, he was older than him, was going on the train, you know, too. But the boy, my girlfriend's brother, was going. So his mother didn't want to go. And she asked me would I please go with her to see, you know, everybody had some others crowded. And this friend of mine, we all call him, his nickname was Toby. And Toby come over and asked me would I come over and meet his brother who was leaving to go into service. Of course, each bunch was put in a different place, you know, so exact. So I went up and met him. That was the first time I'd ever met him. I had seen him. I'd be at dances and parties. I've seen him in armor, but he was so much older than I had been 8 years older. I had a second time. And I met him. And at that time, the train came, so I went back to be the other boy goodbye. And a couple of weeks, I got a card from Sam. Can't be. And then every week or so, I'd get a postal card or something telling me what they were doing. So finally I got one and he told me he was coming home that weekend. He didn't let him come home, I don't think, for 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe a month or 6 weeks I went home. Because I wasn't interested in it. So at any rate, I think
great. Could say. So you got a card saying that he'd be coming home.
He was coming home and he hoped to see me. So when I came home from church on Sunday, he was a great fox hunter. He belonged to a fox club, you know, and go fox hunting. And when I came home from church Sunday, of course, he had to walk to church every day. And my brother and I came home, and he was there talking to my father for the gatepost. There was a big stove there where people used to sit on to talk to one another. I think every gatepost had one. And, of course, I stopped talking for a while. I didn't bother, I went on with the business. And I don't think I saw him anymore. Until the flu broke out. He was packed up, ready to go to York. And they quarantined him. And his father had a stroke. The doctor didn't think his father was in his 80s. Didn't think he'd possibly live. So Dr. Bagley was his doctor that great baggies now. Father used to make you bag this corner. And he got a hold of somebody and got Sam home to visit his father. And he brought the flu with him.
He brought the flu with him.
His father got better, but he wasn't very, I don't know how long he had it, but I wasn't bothering the flu. I didn't even know anything about it. So he was very ill. In them days, it was a lot of, most people didn't live through it. And he almost died. And every time I'd see his brother at a place, I'd see him, that is how his brother was. So he was still living, but that's about all. So anyway, when he finally got well, he got so he called me and talked to me over the phone. Because there's nothing else to do for him. Couldn't go outside or anything. So that's how we got acquainted.
Talking on the phone.
So the first time he had I couldn't say it was a date with me, but he come to visit me was a few days before Christmas. In those days, it used to be a big store, Forest Hill, where I think now it's a post office and two or three other things up there on that corner. It was Tucker's. Mm-hmm. And Santa Claus came Saturday before Christmas. And everybody had to go. So his sister lived across the road from us. She had two boys, little children in school. And they were all taken, they wanted to see how these children responded to Santa Claus, you know. And they were all gone. And Sam didn't want to go. So the doctor, Toby, called us, his brother, I know. We all called him Toby. He called one of Sam could stay with me. Well, they went to Tucker. And that's. Then he went back 2 days after Christmas, back to the Army. Which as soon as he got things straightened out, there was a post, the ship went out. So I didn't expect to see him anymore. And once in a while I get a card from him. So finally, one day I got this card and tell me he'd see me such and such a date. I don't know who it was. Somewhere January 18th or something like that. Right along. And that they were being discharged, because November the 11th had come along in the meantime. But I didn't hear anything about him. And to be sure to say, if there's anything going on, in them days in the Army, there used to be something where every weekend went on. Social suppers and dinner and all those kind of things. If there's anything going on to say, weekend, he'd like to take me. Like me to take, go with him or something like that. So I did. And he got home Saturday morning and he called me and made a date for Saturday evening to go to the old Emerson School. I know you don't even know where it is.
What is the name again?
Emerson School. You know where it is? You're going into the shop where you all go down there. What is it called? Skeptic Stone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go down when we cross roads, and you turn right down like you was going there. And now, if somebody's built under it, maybe a house. But just a short distance down there was one of the first schools that was built in our county. And it was a stove. My aunt was a teacher there. So they were having what they called a forward and backward entertainment. So we went to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering what in the world it was going to be. And they got there, and the school, well, the school, them days, if the school got over 40 or 45 students, regular, they could get a teacher to help them. And they had to get it because it was growing so fast. See, Edgewood made this in the Harbor County grow. And, so we got there, that's what it was. We were going to try to raise money. The kids put a little entertainment on the board. And then two or three of the older people and everything. They were willing to give so much to this and the other to move their school up on the corner at the crossroads. And they called it the backward and forward. That was the reason. because some of them had gone there to school, and a good many of them, I guess, had. And they were trying to get a school up there so that we could go there. Mm-hmm. So there's the night they originated that school. So that's what they did. And the school, stone school, turned into a house. And people just ran it. I mean, guess the baby rooms inside. I never was inside after that. It was all one big room when I knew it. But the other day I had Sam take me down past there a few weeks ago. And I see they built on to it. They don't have school anymore. But of course, Emerson School is closed now too. It's up on the corner, it's still being built. I don't know what they're going to have. Got a whole lot of ads all over. And I forget the word. But that's where they my aunt went up there. Well, Sam's brother, Toby, was an extra fine chicken. He could jig dance.
Uh-huh. Jig dance?
Jig dance.
Uh-huh. Jig dance.
And everybody that had anything would see if they could get him to help entertain their parties and things. And he was all over the county. And of course, somebody had to play the backboard to do it. And my husband played the backboard. So that's, I mean, he kept on doing that, everything, two or three things over and two. Of course, he took me down to that thing. And we just kept on being friends.
So how long did you know each other before you got married?
I guess it was 15 or 18 months. I was married in April. Because I really never knew him until that December Christmas before. Next Christmas he was home, but I wasn't engaged to him. I mean, he was home because he stayed home because he farmed. Yeah, we were married in April. Camelot is now. We bought that farm. And raised calves. Chipmunk.
Is that what you did? You worked the farm too? Did you raise chickens or?
Oh, I raised, helped raise the chickens. We had a pretty good chicken house. And we used to get a couple hundred baby chicks every spring. Raise them. Sold the egg. You'd take your eggs to the store. They pay you so much on them.
Do you remember how much they paid you for a dozen?
It wasn't very much, I'll tell you.
Did you get a different amount for brown eggs, or did you get brown eggs?
Yes. Brown eggs were more prominent at that time. The late chicken lays a white egg was just going in there. A lot of people wouldn't use a white egg.
Oh, they wouldn't use the white eggs?
Yeah, uh-huh. They'd like them. But that's what most people like them better than the other than they did.
So did they give you a different price for brown and white eggs?
And then when the children come along and had to go to school, I had to take them every morning and get them every afternoon. And the second one come along, he was only allowed so much gas. And I couldn't get gas enough to do it. So Mr. Pete Schaefer had a garage up here, where the gas station is on the corner there, mm-hmm. Now. And his wife and mother-in-law, both, them days were just pretty, like, they were just for telephones, electric ones, and it used to be bunches of them here. They bring the gang, they called them a gang. They bring them and they board, they get boarders, and they had to have eggs. So I used to take eggs to Mr. Pete Schaefer for his mother and mother-in-law and his wife and got gas, and that's the only way I would have been able to take my children to school in that day. I could get enough to get them there, but I couldn't get them, I couldn't do it for every day. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I come back there.
And did you have a garden? Did you do any canning?
Oh, yeah.
What kinds of things did you can?
Well, I always canned 100 quarts of tomatoes. And then, of course, I had seven children.
Seven children?
Sam's the last one. I got so I tried to do 200 quarts. But I can preserve. We had big shells in the basement. I'd have full all kind of jellies and preserves. You know, there was nothing else to do. And I didn't have any. You had, I would say, full of preserved things. You had to raise your own potatoes, dig them, put them in the bin. Raise your own cabbage and dig a hole and put it in the hole for the winter. And you want cabbage, you have to go ahead and take it out of the hole. You've got to eat 3 or 4 heads at a time.
You spent most of your time just putting things on the table, right? Working the food? And
yes, you stayed at home. There was something else to do. Oh, yes, it'd be now and then. Somebody have a party or a card party or minstrel show or something like that, but I mean, we didn't depend on those kind of things. And I remember before my father-in-law died, he lived pretty well up in his 80s. He used to come up and bring, one of the brothers was on here in a 50-year thing, and he was having to marry, and John bring his father up on Friday evenings. Two or three other neighbors would come in, and the men would sit around the table and play cards.
What kind of games did you play?
Pitch, I guess. I don't know. I didn't play, so I don't
know. Oh, you don't know?
I never knew much about cards. But they would sit there and play. They had a good time, and I'd always be sure I had cookies or something to serve, you know, lemonade or things like that. If you didn't buy a ginger ale, it was a good day. You wouldn't make your own.
What do you remember about the railroad, the Mom and Pa Railroad, or any of the other things that Harford County area?
I think it's a shame they didn't do, kept it going instead of forgetting. Yeah, yes, when I moved to Watervale in 1911, I had to, my parents took me to church on Sunday to St. Margaret's. But that was too far to walk, so I was a mile the other side of the station. But made it, Bel Air was a good old stretch. Now you have to go to Watervale Station and get on and ride to Bel Air. I had to go to catechism. Father got us so we had catechism at 9:30 every Saturday morning there. You didn't have to come back Sunday afternoon. It used to be an open catechism that Sunday afternoon. When we were all in there. But there were so many of us scattered. So he'd have it at 9:30 Saturday morning. For the two classes, the beginners and the older ones, had two classes. And I used to have to walk to Waterville, you know, on the train, and it cost me 6 cents to ride in the lab. So, I wish in a way they had kept the railroad. I mean, they didn't have to keep the railroad, but they could have kept it. That just destroyed it entirely, like they did. Because apparently it must have been a very old. My father worked on it, on the railroad, from 1905 until he went to 1911, when he moved back to Woodland, because his brother lived in Boston, and he was one of the head ones on the work crew, and he taught my father, given up the barn, and he moved up, land up here, moved up here, and he worked on it those years, but he stopped to think about it.
It was convenient for everybody to.
Yes. The first one went to Ballpark at 7 o'clock. And then there at 7 o'clock. See, this railroad run from Baltimore to York, Pennsylvania. But we didn't have many come down from York and Delta till later in the day. But the first train left at 7 o'clock every morning was Baltimore. People that worked in there, and I think it left home around 5:30 the evening. Then we had it. There used to be one. The one I went to go to catechism was 9 o'clock. Got Bel Air time. And the one I came home on was 11:15 or 20 or something. And but they had another. They had one. They had one train. They had one that used to bring children. Even when I was going to Bel Air School, 9 o'clock, you'd get up here back and forth at 9 since you're going to school. And it left at 1 because the children that went on the train had to get out 6 minutes earlier than the rest of us to get to the station. And then the next one went for high school, the older grades. It left at 4:15. But they used to pick up children clean down. I don't know how far down they had the trains to pick them up. Way down Long Green, all Hyde and all those places. It took a big long railroad. Used to come up here on the train.
To go to school.
Yes.
What are some other changes you've seen in Harford County?
Everything's turned over.
Tell me about it.
Oh, I don't know. There's not many things.
What do you miss the most?
Mm-hmm.
What do you miss the most?
Well, I don't know. Because I had a 7 children, I didn't have much time to miss.
I know how that is.
Irene was born Christmas Eve.
What year?
1921. And New Year's Day, 1922, my son was born. You didn't know anything about child. Didn't they?
So what was it like raising your such a big family in this area, other than working all the time?
Well, my husband, of course, worked on the farm, but the younger brother, the one that was friendly with me, worked for the state, of course, for trees and things, and they were building mines every place, and they needed people to do it. So he got sand to join it. He was an inspector for gas and electric. Most all the lines built in, he had to go and tell them what trees they could cut down and how much of a tree and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people I hated to see, you know, those guys. But at any rate, he worked for that till, well, he retired for several years for that. He worked there for years. But we had a hard man to take care of the farm.
A hired man.
Because we shipped the old thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we used to get the cash or something. Sam used to get up in the morning and help.
Then what did you do with the milk?
You had to put them in a can, cool it off, put it there. We had an old spring. It had a lovely stone spring house. So we fixed it up so one side we cool milk in the water. The other side we had it so we could draw our water. So the water from the spring right there, we could put our bucket on it and catch it. And that's the way we did until we got electricity. And of course, like today, starting on cans. But we had milk cans and had to bring them out here this corner in a wagon and set them there. And a truck would come through. It was about 6 or 8 miles right there. They'd come through and pick it up. And then the evening, they'd bring the cans back. We'd have to man together, have the cans up, and take them home for the next day.
Uh-huh. You think that'll answer? Yes, so how did you know, how did you get paid for the cans of milk you put out?
Really?
Well, we shipped to the dairy of Baldwin, which is where. And every once a month, you got your check. They paid you so much a gallon, I don't know. It wasn't very much.
How did they know how many cans you put out, or did you have different looking cans than the other
Every
farmers?
Every can had it. They had 3 sizes, 5, 7 cans. And we filled the cans first. If you didn't have enough, I mean, if you had some left over, you used a 7. We didn't use 7 too often. Usually you had enough left over, you put 4 or 5 or up to 5 gallons in your third can. And that way you should.
And then the cans were marked with your name on them?
It had your name on it, a brass sticker. Soldered on there, your name and your number. The dairies went more by our numbers than they did the names. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people over here. There were farm two or three men on that road. I don't know how many of them used to haul the milk. Oh, down our way, there's, I guess, two or three. I know there were two below us in old mill. But it got so that one of those fellows, we'd give him so much in the morning to stop and get ours so it wouldn't fall out of the
way. I see. And then the driver of the truck kept track of whose milk he was picking up. And
I guess he did. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we got in there, he just unloaded, and they were the ones just in Jack and they, you know, Eugene. I don't think, I never heard of Brown in the back, I guess, about it.
They kept pretty good track of it. So what was the Depression like for you here? How was it terrible?
Well, they just cut us out. You would only have so much wheat in the store. We had a very careful wheat. Now, on the farm, we were not so bad off because we always had a nice garden. That's one thing Sam liked, was a big garden. Mm-hmm. And I canned mama beans, canned tomatoes, canned string beans, canned corn. And that way we had enough food that way. But if you wanted to, we could put on so many loaves of bread a week, so many 5 pounds of sugar a week. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very pleasant. Mm-hmm. That's one reason. I mean, the fellow that used to give me the gas for eggs.
Mr. Schaefer. Yeah.
We had no, I guess the government would have put us in jail, then we did that.
Yes, sir. That wasn't
But we loud. Didn't tell anybody. I'd just pull up and he'd come out and pick up my, I'd have each one a dozen in each box. And he'd pick them up and carry them in, and I'd be gas in, and I'd go on, sometimes we'd get in and say hello.
Oh, yeah. Uh huh.
So we'd have a conversation about it. But I guess not. But you really had to. Now, of course, my husband working for the state, he got so much a week. But they didn't let him have enough. If there was even enough left to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was very careful of your gas. And you're very careful of your sugar. Mm-hmm. But it was hard. But it is good. I think in a way people were happier. You know,
they were
happier.
Uh-huh. How so?
I mean, they were just, everybody was sociable, everybody knew. You know, you go out to shop. Used to be you went shopping. You had everybody in the shop. You'd be at the A&P where you used to have one. There's been a few people you didn't know. You didn't even want to say, hey, good morning, nice and pleasant morning. He'd say, well, I heard you, somebody was sick in your family. How are you? Like that, you know. And now, you never see a face. You go to church, you don't see. The church we go to, I go to St. Mary's Church. We, the church holds 170 people, the old church. And many a Sunday, we weren't filled by a jug for it. And now it's so full, but it's in, and now they put chairs in the back, so I think they left close to 200 in them, put the chairs in the back. They had a big space in the back under the choir, and they put chairs back there. But I know I know it's not over 200 in, and they have built a hall that holds 700.
700. And you won't know all those people.
This past Sunday, I saw one person that I knew to speak to. Huh. Of course, the big church, the old church, is closed now for a few weeks. They're remodeling because the floor got bad. They're going to have to move everything out and dig out underneath of it, rocks and things. something because it's so old. It's over 200 years old. So that's what they're going to, it's going to be closed until they get that done. So we all had to go in the hall. There's more services down there. And we were coming out Sunday. We went to 4:09 and the next one was 10 o'clock. They had to make it pretty close to it all through the 12. And I'm telling you, I hope that when next Sunday cuts it short, it was terrible of people coming in using gravity.
Yeah.
Man, 700 people trying to get in that building and it's not working no more. There's one couple set out to do something that we definitely touched. They had four children, and none of them were old enough to go to school. I'm telling you, the people around it, some of the elderly people sitting back up, and I knew they could have killed themselves. He had to take one to the bathroom. I mean, he went three times to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, you must have had some of that similar experience with your seven children when they were little.
No, I never had that trouble. I mean, go to the bathroom before we left.
Yeah, but taking them to church and what about holidays?
Well,
tell me about your holidays with your family.
Oh yeah, well, sometimes went to a mother's, father. Then if the mother died, well, it was reverse. Dad comes off, they sang all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers, we all get together and we oh, here's all kinds of things. Like here in the neighborhood, when I was, I don't know how old I was, but there used to be about three or four couples. I know there were four, I was in one that. You'd come to our house every Friday to play cards, and then you'd go to the next house, one Friday, and the next Friday they go to the other house, one of the others. And that way they entertain one another that way. And we lived on the farm. The neighbors, as I said to them, Pat and Uncle John used to come home neighbor. Other days sit there and play cards. Most of it just the men now, but most of the women had children to stay home. They're mad.
If they just stayed home, huh?
Yeah, we didn't go around much during the night and the whole thing. I know I didn't. Of course, I didn't remain. I didn't have any more of them that quick. I ran in, we get pretty good size when I had any more. And then Sam, the two oldest ones were through high school.
Oh, really? Huh. That's quite a difference in age.
Yeah. He was, Irene and Henry, they graduated together because they started the school together because they're a year apart. Kept him IRA 1 year, and he started in September. He wouldn't be six till New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But the nuns let me do it. They were going to Catholic school, I was in Columbus. But I mean, times have changed a lot sometimes.
How have they changed the most?
Hmm?
What's changed the most? You don't know?
What do you think we'd actually have? What can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine, but you've seen it, and I can only sort of guess. So I'd much rather hear what really happened.
Well, we used to feel that we'd go to my grandmother and grandfather's. My father's father, mother died before mother and dad never married. My grandfather Cole was only 2 years old when he died. But my grandfather, Carr, they call them Kerrs now, K-E-R-R,
mm-hmm.
Them days were Carr. They had, every Sunday, if we wanted to, we'd go there for Sunday for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
As we did the water veil, then we, which was buggy, it didn't fly around like it. Took you time to do it. But we could do it somehow, I don't know how to do it.
To have come through it strong. Do you remember any other family stories about anything that people coming through and visiting or?
Well, I used to have a cousin, and life of Baltimore. He came up every summer. He and his wife and the youngest daughter. Mm-hmm. Then they'd go back, because I think they were on train. They'd go back, and the two older daughters come up, and they'd each one, they'd come for a week together with you. And they were older. Catherine and I were the same age as one of them, mother and father. The other two were older, because you used to have boyfriends coming up to see them. But when they'd come up, all the young people in the neighborhood would come to our place one evening. And another evening, one of the girls, you know, someone would have them all over there. That's the way people had people come up and spend a week with you, or stayed with you, your visitors. Mm-hmm. And you helped entertain the neighbors. Generally did something so they could all get together and be nice. Sometimes the women just got together and have a little card party in the morning. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I don't think people ever felt.
I'm sorry?
I don't think we ever felt we didn't have a pretty good life. Mm-hmm. And I think we enjoyed it more if we did ask. It's too rushed, hustled. You didn't think about it. You didn't much about it. But you stopped with me. Many a week, unless your neighbors, now the neighbors were generally very friendly. And they didn't, and people talk about the blacks and the whites, the color, I call them color, the same to the things you know. But anyway, I was raised practically, because as I said, Mr. Robson was a millionaire. And they always had a book, she was always colored. And the people living in the lane, we had to go past their house every time we went in and out, but the house was way down a quarter mile. The lane was long. He was handyman. He worked, and she did their washing, and they were calling. And they had children. They had children at the same age. And then there was another couple that way up near the schoolhouse. He worked on the farm, and they had a daughter all the time. He'd go home to lunch and bring her back, and she'd come down. So, I mean, I never felt funny about color. I really was associated with more of them, because the Robinson girls were going to college. Mm-hmm. The first year or two I was there, I guess. But I was picking up too many things they needed. They used to put me on a chair in our high school on a lake in our backyard, and they put me on a chair, and they'd take me over in the ice pond, and they'd, one of them pushed me a while around. They couldn't stay up on the ice too here, I guess. But I used to get a ride every, when they were home, come home for holidays or something. It was freezing. Mm-hmm. Grandmother, the ice pond was froze. I think we had more ice those days than we had. Mm-hmm. Because I can remember when I was 12, probably 13, or when I was 14 to 16, every winter we practically lived on the ice pond. Mm-hmm. All the kids in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Because they filled the ice pond, the ice house. First cutting of ice. Then after that we could have it to skate on. If we were skating on it, they packed the ice so they could cut it. When they cut it, they used to cut it like squares like this and haul it in and put it in a deep building to put it down and throw hay on to keep the ice for summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have refrigerators.
No, ice boxes.
Well, you had an ice box and you'd go get a piece of ice out of it. You had a ladder to get down in, a piece of ice, and bring it out, wash it off, and put it in your ice box. I don't know how we even existed. I don't know. You had a washer on a washboard. But I really, in a way, I think people were happier. I don't know why. I guess you appreciate what you have. Now everybody must have it. To take the kids to go to school, I think they, some of them. Of course, I only have, okay, I counted the other day. I think it's, I have 28 grandchildren.
Wow.
And with my great grandchildren and the grandchildren together, I have 60 or 61.
Marvelous.
Expect another one in October.
It's like my grandmother. My grandmother has 62 living descendants.
Well, my grandmother had 11 that she raised. And they all of them married and had pretty good size. I didn't have any son that my mother had. I never cared no more than that. But I mean, I came around the other day, said, here I the piece of paper counted up. And between the grandchildren and the great grandchildren, I think it's either 59 or 61. I know I said the other one will make one more, whatever it was. At least I do it in October. I don't think, I don't know of any more. God knows what it is. But I had one, see. I have a granddaughter that is in Damascus.
It's where?
Damascus.
Damascus?
So she married a boy and she went to college with him. He called her here to college. Mm-hmm. There were 17 of us. Well, she graduated from the University of Tennessee. They lived in Tennessee. Son and his wife. And he was over here for 4 years. Worked.
Nobody.
Well, you see, yeah, he worked someplace down there. Other than that, they were here last year, but he's going back home now. They have three children. Oh, he's all right.
What's that?
I said he's all right.
Yeah.
It's a little.
Oh well.
The women don't imagine much.
The women don't amount to much?
No, they have to have them, but they don't have much. They're not supposed to live with them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I see. I see.
The little boys are wonderful. Little girls are used to get that. I know differently remarks he's made. Mm-hmm. But I've never talked to him very much. But I know different remarks are made. But the females don't amount to much as males do.
What is your favorite childhood memory? Do you have one that stands out more than the others?
I guess my favorite thing was to go to my grandfather's table. I was the oldest grandchild, and they just treated me like I was important.
Uh-huh.
I look forward to that, I think.
What do you remember about your grandparents?
Oh, I remember. Grandmother was very quiet, awfully sweet. Grandpa was real Irish. Grandmother was too. But Grandpa was, he was also well taught. He was always keeping us kids, teaching Saturdays. Carrie Padford and all those kinds of things. Grandmother was extremely quiet. I had one aunt who never married. My namesake, godmother, named Helen. She never married. I mean, she always stayed home until her parents died. She got a job in Baltimore and she worked at the one place to. She was up in her 80s when she retired.
Mm-hmm.
She had me baby.
So your grandparents on your father's side were from Ireland or your mother's side?
Well, my father's side, I mean, grandmother was dead. I mean, my father's mother was, I mean, yeah. was dead before, a couple years ago. They were married. She died very young. I don't know. I don't remember ever having my children. But Grandfather Cole, I can just barely remember. It's a funny thing to remember. But he had a little beard, and I remember rubbing it over my face. He's, but I was only about 2 or 3 years old when he died. Didn't see him very much. He used to come visit someone, I guess. But because he was very fond of his kids. I had two brothers. They were much younger. My grandfather called, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember enough of that, except that beard, I can remember him. He threw me and rubbed it over my face. But I asked my mother one time how old, and she said, oh, you're 2 or 3 years old. That's the answer she gave me, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was my grandmother and my father's side, my grandfather. They lived, and I knew they were a long time.
Change in my lifetime, but what I really want to hear is what you think of how it's changed.
Hi, you're back from...
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's changed. I don't know what has changed the most. One thing, the children don't have respect for the parents.
Uh-huh.
That we used to. And I don't think the parents correct the children correctly.
You don't think they what?
I don't think when they correct them, I don't think they do it right.
I see.
Because I never just what I see, that may be true, but I see a few things. A lot of times they'll tell them to stop doing a thing. If my parents had told me that, not doing it, I wouldn't keep on. And I don't remember my father ever giving me, even hit me, but one time. And that was when we lived over here. And the fairground used to be over here where the mall is, you know. And they had a board fence the whole way around. Well, their board fence went right up against our garden fence. Mm-hmm. But I was from cousin. There used to be a bunch of hobos. We called it Hobo Corner, down in the edge of the woods. The railroad track used to run right from the side of it, but it was in the woods, you couldn't see it. And then we always called the hobo place. You'd all see hobos going. And my mother and father had been going through those. The hobos used to go through there. They'd take a quarter or two off the sea. Mm-hmm. They could cut through and come out up here on Route 1. Cut out all that down there. And one day, one of my girlfriends was there, and we were playing, and we went over. My father came home, wondered where I was, and my mother said she was going home. I said, the back door, they're playing. So he heard us. We went over to pick violets. The most beautiful violets we threw that fence and left you see. We were picking violets, and he hears giggling, you know. And I remember him giving me, he'd pick up a switch, and he kept hitting me in the legs all the time. That's the only time I ever remember. But if he told me to stop, I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Whether the parents, or why they don't. But I know. I don't know what they would have done to us if we didn't want like the children to do that. But they had big families, they didn't have time, but some of them had this house family. I know 2 or 3 times. And my granddaughter, as a third, she gave up her job now because they were born. I think that's where one big mistake is made. The children put these places where I don't say they don't take care of them, but they can't give them mother's love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I think our whole world needs today.
Mm-hmm. The mother's love.
Because the mothers, now I know here, I have some committed. Almost like to kill some of the kids, you know. The mother hollered all the time.
Yeah.
They can't get paying more attention to her than you do the window there. And I don't think I ever heard my parents call me and tell me, stop, I don't remember. I guess I'm scared to death of them. I don't remember the reason. It was just natural. We just didn't do it. We knew we shouldn't do it. And I said the other day, there's one in there, and I said, promise the truth. But I guess the parent is with the child so much they don't like to correct them. They have, want to love them and this, that, and the other thing, please them, instead of correcting them. I think that's where our problem is going to be. The parent, the mother is not. I don't say the father doesn't have the same job, but the fathers in olden times had to work for the men. In them days, you went to work at 7 o'clock at any job, and you didn't get off till 6, and you walked, and they had to walk whatever you were working on.
Yes, he had to work, walk to work and then walk home and
carry your lunch. I don't know how they did it, but they did it all. My father was a carpenter.
Was a carpenter?
When he quit the farm in 1980. Went to work at Edgewood, but he was a good carpenter. And he'd be gone in the morning, I wouldn't see him, I'd see him in the evening. But if he said he'd do something, I did it. I never questioned him a bit. And now the children don't even pay attention to why you're finished telling them. I had a parry here the other day. I threw it. That mother, I don't see how she's been worse for Holly. And if you pay any more attention to her, that ain't more than I do. I don't pay much attention to her now. Not after that edition. And they were cute kids. And one of them had just had his tonsils removed recently. And I felt sorry for him, and I talked to him usually, and I said, my God, they fight them, no matter what. And then they'd do it, and she'd have to squawk on them. I knew the word I was getting to them.
Did children get along better when you were a child? And
yeah, I think we did. Well, we didn't have much to do. We had to be near the show. Then you had little games we used to play. Rob the Hacks and this. Farmer the Dell. Okay. Mm-hmm. We had checkers, dominoes,
mm-hmm.
old maid cards, things like that. And when I think about it, I had two aunts. One was a year older than I, and the other was about 2.5 years. And we were practically raised up together. I mean, in the end, they lived over here. Development's called, but you know where stump, what when I say stump place, you know where that is?
Oh, no.
But this was a darn farm on this corner. Yeah. And it went into the high tension line. And then from there, there were only two farms on that side. It was a stump farm. My grandfather running it for years and years and years. He was an old colonel stump. And there were very wealthy people in the front. And I don't know how many years ago, until my grandfather was high 70s or early 80s when he left. But he ran that farm. I mean, as far back as I can remember, that's where we were. It was before I was, well, my mother's marriage was there. So that was a long, long time. But I don't know. What it is. They would say we didn't have much to do and much communication. We didn't need it. You read a book. We all had books. In them days, we had a lot more classes in school than we had today. I'm surprised now they don't even teach geography in school.
They don't teach?
Geography.
Hmm.
I said somebody, some people said somebody else, what? Oh, you're talking about this. And I said, oh, they don't have that anymore. Hmm. How do you know what the United States looks like?
I don't know. They taught it when I was in school. They taught geography when I was in school.
Well, what was wording? Somebody wanted to know what the capital of some state was. And he asked me every one of us now. And I come right away. But he couldn't imagine how I knew it. Nobody else I asked don't know it. That's a myth. We had 48 states, and I tell you, you knew every capital. I always liked geography to some degree. I liked history. But I was never crazy about history. I had a low geography. I was going to take marks. Because I liked it. But history. It was hard. I remember things you didn't know anything about.
Did you have a teacher, a favorite teacher that you remember?
Well, Miss Mayfield Wright, who was Charlie Irwin's, his mother, was my favorite teacher. My teacher in third grade.
She taught you in third grade?
And we were friends, came up to us, she died. And that's the reason Charlie and I, she's good friends. But, and a Miss Harvard, a Fulford, Miss Dan Fulford, I don't know what's Fulford anymore, and I was straight below, the Churchfield Road.
Mm-hmm.
We come to the crossroads where the bank is, First National, Second National Bank.
136?
543. You keep on getting it. Well, the next little village my father used to run a store in is just before you get down to, it's called Shooks' Corner, where it goes to community college. But just what happened to Peter, she was the sweetest thing anybody ever had. Marie Kearney was my last teacher. She was very, very nice. We made friends up to her death just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a one I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
That was Vera Benning. And you know why I didn't like her? Well, but anyway, she was a little different from most of us.
I'm sorry, what was it?
It was a little different. She was from Delta or York, I don't know which it was. But anyway, some of the kids were very bad. In those days, you got marked on your report card according to your deportment, it was called. Now you had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always got 99 and 100. Oh, yeah. I did pretty well with it. And down to my father's instructor, he'd have to give me a good lecture. And that year, first year, we got our cars in November, which gave me 4 times a year. We girls all got 85 from our mothers, so they, my mother almost died, and my father went on the job. So mother went up the next morning with me. Only time she ever went to school with me, complained about it. To ask, what had I been doing? Well, 85 was a terrible mark. If you got 95 before you were bad. And she couldn't imagine why in the world we got there. There were 2 other mothers there. So the teacher told us the reason was because some of them were, had this bad and had to get a little mark. And she couldn't give them a little mark. And she just had to give us all. But really, we girls were not, should not go. Hey, their mother did that over the future in the airport. But anyway, I'll never forget that. 85 for the court. I don't think I ever got below 98 all the years I went to school. I used to talk sometimes. But I was quiet about it.
Yeah.
I didn't get caught.
Well, you know, if you had 8 grades, you didn't. Look, the teacher, she didn't see you doing anything wrong. She's good as if you're all in grade. But that was hard work. How in the world did those teachers really teach you? And the year I graduated, I got 98 in geometry, which I hated. But she had to help me out. I got the key there. Oh, I didn't think that's so good. I love math. I like algebra. I got the geometry. I don't ever drama the book of ever prayer that way. But that was
You didn't go on to college?
Well, I didn't go out. I was supposed to go on to high school, but my mother got very, very ill. And that day, she died, you might say. She died. So I was married and had children of my own, but that's before she died. But she never had good health. You know? She had to wait it on. She was paralyzed. So my father told me he gave me so much every month that I stay home to school and pick them up, because they had a horse on them. Mm-hmm. They said, they always call me kid. They said, you don't give you, I have to pay them. So I did, I stayed with her. But she had gotten it, so she was able to get off and get around when I got married. But there for a while she was able to get out of the chair, just from the edge of the chair. But she got better after moving. That was one reason we got the barn down there, so we put her up here. And she got so she was driving her front porch, sat out there, made the walk out the yard a short distance. But Daddy had a rose arbor, the most gorgeous roses you ever saw, and she loved it back and sat in there. He got so that he could take her out there. But she died. Father lived to be 94. He was a fertile man.
I'm sorry?
I say he was a fertile man. He only weighed about 140 maybe. He never was very big. He was good to his kids.
What do you remember most about him? What do you remember most about him?
Well, there's so many things to be while we move to our first. One thing I do remember, he always had the most beautiful flowers that I would ever have. And when I got married, he saw that I had it in my place. This is crazy. This place over here was just beautiful. Kept the front yard there for house right down, plain, not a thing on it. It used to play croquet and things like that on it. But on this side over here where the lane was, and then there were 5 beds on this side. The other people that owned it before, I guess was a half an acre maybe down there. They had a cow. We didn't have a cow, so we made 5 beds on it. And he had some of those gorgeous 5 beds.
So that runs in the family, the florist.
We all have. Anytime you want a bouquet, you can go get it. All kinds of things. That's where, well, of course, you retired from work. I did it through for an age. But he had to do something outside. But he had it before. Even when we lived on the farm, you know, we always had a pretty yard of flowers. He loved flowers. Mother did too, but she wasn't, but she didn't. I guess Mother didn't have good health. I guess by 1910, they were before that age, which started up into the stroke or something. She had a hard life sometimes. She wished she was dead. Mm. She felt so bad and had everybody waiting on her and all this stuff. She was passed away very quietly one evening. I remember well where she was and her brother. She got so sick. My brother lived in Bel Air. He didn't like the name Hatter. And she was bedfast for me today. But anyway, the doctor came in to see her, and he was sitting there at the foot of the bed talking to us. And a blue man was there. And we were in the room. She went off to sleep, and in a minute he said, "Girl, do you know your mother's dead?" He said, "Honey, you know your mother's dead." She goes, he said, "I have one unpleasant moment about 5 days." She was just asleep. Because he realized, but the rest of us didn't realize she was dead until he told us. We were all sitting there watching her. But we didn't see the difference. But I remember saying, "The girl." But they were sisters, and they said, "Girls." He said to me, "Oh, your mother."
I'm sorry?
I said, "She suffered so much, so." Mm-hmm. First one thing, and then the other. But she didn't complain much. She was on the air for it. She was nice to be around. She's always ready to play with us kids, show us how to play games. I had 2 brothers. They were both much younger.
Well, I think her daughter has learned her charm.